you're on the place where you're not sure, or if you want to settle limits on what how God would use you, whether it be in church or in the community, in the world, you're not in the place where God wants you to be. God wants you to be in the place where I will do whatever God calls me to do. Well, what would Jesus have Isaiah to do? I keep thinking of this in the context of Isaiah's commission or call, but listen to what he says. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. God on his throne speaking to Isaiah. Go and tell this people. Go and tell this people who have turned their back on me. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, and their ears dull, and their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Keep thinking of this in the context of the call to preach. Isaiah was going to be a preacher in his day. Isaiah was going to be a man who was called to speak the word of God. And I think, well, what would happen now if we took this call to the local seminary and said, you know what? What I want you all do, or what I want you aspiring preachers to do, is just go and speak my word. And guess what? You're going to preach your heart out, and the people are going to stare back at you with blank, glassed-over eyes and be completely unresponsive to what you say. And the seminary emptied out. Okay, I'm going to learn to weld. You see, Isaiah was in a place where he wasn't even looking for a successful ministry. He didn't define success in ministry like we do today, did he? It's kind of like with Isaiah, his success in ministry was going to only be to preach the word of God. And sometimes the word of God is not a message that people like to hear. And yet God, Isaiah was going to be faithful. Isaiah's commission was not to be an easy one. Most would-be preachers like to think that their ministry will yield many converts to Jesus, or at least yield a group of people who are growing in their love for God and are being strengthened in His Word. That's what most preachers want. Isaiah's ministry was going to be the one that made it not easy for people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. His ministry was going to be one that was going to make it very, very difficult for people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Was it because his preaching was not the best in the world? Isaiah's preaching was what we would call excellent preaching. He was one who was going to give the message of God with clarity and conviction. And yet, even though his message was going to be the direct words of God, his message was going to be rejected by the masses. The people's spiritual senses were going to be deadened. Their eyes would become blind to the truth and the majesty of God. Their ears would become deaf and dull to the hearing of God's word. Their hearts would become callous to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Anybody up for that ministry? Anybody want to preach? The rejection of God had become so complete that the further preaching of the word, of God's word, now listen, the further preaching of God's word was going to desensitize these people even more. Alec Motier aptly summarizes the dynamic at work, when a person's spiritual appetite declines, I hope you're listening, try to get a hold of this, okay? Isaiah faced the preacher's dilemma, I quote, "If hearers are resistant to the truth, the only recourse is to tell them the truth once again. If hearers are resistant to the truth, the only recourse is to tell them the truth again, more clearly than before. But to do this is to expose them to the risk of rejecting the truth yet again, and therefore increase the hardness of their heart." It could even be the next rejection will prove to be the point at which the heart is hardened beyond recovery. Do you hear what Alec is saying? He's saying what is going, the possibility or the place that Isaiah had been called to preach was to a people whose spiritual senses were becoming deadened. And as he preached more, it is a message that is going to condemn the people, because their appetite for hearing the word of God was going to decrease. Their eyes were going to become blind. Their ears were going to become dull. They weren't going to hear the word of the Lord. And their heart was going to become callous. This is where it begins to hurt, doesn't it? Because the same danger that faced the people in Isaiah's day faces us today. We can become a people who are hard of hearing, who are hard to see what God is trying to teach us. And in the place where familiarity breeds contempt, we can just become hard-hearted. We can think we're doing all the right things and become so desensitized to what God is trying to do in us, or to the offer of His mercy and grace and love, that we can come to the point of no return. Beloved, these people in Isaiah have come to the point of no return, because God is going to harden their hearts. Are you catching that? I mean, I see a lot of blank stares out there. It's not a matter of joking. The same danger that faced Isaiah, the precipice that these people had gone over, could be the precipice that we have gone over. And we can just sleep through a sermon. We can become dead of hearing. We can become critical of the message. And without even knowing it, we've passed the place of no return. Why does God do that? If you'll remember the Song of the Vineyard, he says, "Well, what more could I have done? What more could I have done?" And I'm not going to go back and preach on Isaiah 4 again, I think it was. But the possibility is that God can have done everything and we can still reject Him. And we get to that place, He might say, "You know what? Now I'm going to harden your heart." And that is exactly what's happening here. I got off that quote. Let me continue. It could even be that the next rejection will prove to be the point at which the heart is hardened beyond recovery. The human eye cannot see this point in advance. Beloved, you can't see it coming. You think you always have tomorrow. You always think you have the next 30 minutes or the next 10 seconds to trust Jesus in for the forgiveness of your sins. You think you always have tomorrow. And even if you live past tomorrow, you don't have tomorrow. Because God can close the portal of belief in an instant. The human eye cannot see this point in advance. It comes and goes unnoticed. You will not know. He continues, his task was to bring the Lord's word with fresh, even unparalleled clarity. But in their response, the people would reach the point of no return. These were the days in which the decisive word was spoken and refused. And then he closed this section with this quote from another author. Opportunity in human life is as often judgment as it is salvation. Opportunity in human life is as often judgment as it is salvation. I think we could say sometimes more often, judgment comes rather than salvation. We all face the same dangers of becoming spiritually desensitized. We all face the same dangers that these people face. Should either of us come to the Word of God in a perfunctory manner, with little care or little interest, we place ourselves in the greatest of danger. The danger for a preacher or a teacher is to search the Scriptures for a sermon or a Sunday school lesson, instead of using it as a mirror or an instrument to do heart surgery. The book of life can become nothing more to us than a compendium of talking points. Our devotional lives can become a series of check-offs. I contributed to the offering. Check. Prayed for 5 minutes today. Check. I skipped a meal. Check. I read my Bible for 15 minutes. Check. Beloved, we can easily come to the place in our spiritual lives where we are desensitized to what God is doing and wants to do in us. The spiritual decline, or the dynamic of spiritual decline in an individual or in a nation, was not only something that happened in Isaiah's day. Jesus encountered the same resistance to the truth of God in his day. Jesus cited Isaiah 6 as he rebuked the people, his people, the Jews, in John 12, 35 through 43. I'm going to read John 12, 35 through 41. John 12, verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But although he had performed many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and who to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He continues in verse 39, "For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again," listen, "He has blinded their eyes." God has blinded their eyes, and he, God, has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory. and he spoke of him. Approximately 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus, the second of the person of the Trinity, warned the people of his day that history was repeating itself. The portal of salvation for the Jews was about to close. They, like the people of Isaiah's day, had passed the point of no were nearing the point of no return. As one consultant said, they'd had their chance. The people had had their chance to believe. The people would not believe. And now their chance was gone. This is God giving people over to themselves. Due to their continual rejection of God, judgment was on their doorstep. But instead of softening their hearts toward the Messiah, they became even harder. I know. Ted, you talk too long. The Apostle Paul also cited Isaiah 6 as he told the Jews that he was going to abandon them, my words, and take the gospel to the Gentiles. God was going to give them over to themselves. Why? Because they had heard and refused the word of the Lord. They had continually rejected God. Acts 28, verses 23 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. He was explaining to them, the Apostle Paul, by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. From morning until evening, all day long, not just an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, he was continually trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. Some were being persuaded by the things they being spoken, but others would not believe. Verse 25, and when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke. This is, quote, what Paul said. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through the prophet Isaiah to your fathers, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear and have closed. They have closed their eyes, otherwise they might have seen with their eyes and heard with their ears and understood with their hearts in return, and I would heal them. The people in Isaiah's, in Jesus' day, in the Apostle Paul's day, could not believe in God because they would not believe in God. Their continued disbelief led to the hardening, God's hardening of their hearts. I know. God is love. I know. I'll think about it. I know. Maybe a match will get lit unto me for the Lord tomorrow. Beloved, you don't have tomorrow. You're a fool if you think you've got tomorrow. The fall of a nation, the fall of an individual is preceded by rejection of God and His Word. Now this is where, I hope I haven't stepped on any toes thus far. This is where I might, and again, it is not to be mean. But I think there are some questions we can ask ourselves to find out, well, am I in danger? Does this describe me? Hopefully you can come up with some better questions than this. Here are some diagnostic questions. thinking about Isaiah and thinking about our day today? Are you good with worshiping God on your terms? No commitment to fellowship? No sense of priority? In other words, yeah, I'll make room for God sometime. I'll make room for going to church, the temple of God, right? Fellowshipping with his people. I'll make room for him if I can. As long as the game isn't on. Do you have a take it or leave it attitude towards God's word? Maybe I'll read it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll listen to it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be instructed or convicted by it. Maybe I can just ignore it. Do you have any desire to live the way God says his people should live? Or are you just... do you get along quite comfortably by blending in with the rest of culture? Have you as an individual become dull of hearing? Are you generally uninterested or ambivalent about the things of God? Do you have any spiritual appetite whatsoever? Now, again, this is going to get two sides of the coin, right? So again, I want to be careful here, because this part I do understand. You can say, well, you know what? The preaching is mediocre at best. You talk too much. And I promise you, I do understand that. I've listened to my own sermons and fallen asleep, okay? I want to make sure you understand that I do know that there is difficulty when people work hard outdoors all week long and then come into a nice warm building and sit down. I know it's easy to fall asleep. It can be very hard to stay awake. I understand that, but I'm going to pose another question. I'm going to ask you to flip the other side of the coin. Ted, you talk too much. Do you listen enough? Do you listen enough? Or are you... Yeah, no, look at the clock, everybody. I know, you talk too much. I know, the preaching's mediocre. But when you're listening to good or great preaching, what are you thinking about? Is your mind wandering? Is it kind of, I did my hour today. Beloved, there is a danger where we think we have a lot more time to get things right than we actually do. Do you find yourself, when you're listening to great preaching, radio preaching, TV preaching, you find yourself a little bit disinterested or ambivalent then? That's a good sign that you might be becoming very dull of hearing and hard-hearted. Well, okay, So we've only got about a couple hours left. I just want to, I'm just being facetious. Isaiah wasn't concerned about what he was going to do. He says, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Here I am. I'll go. The completion of his ministry, he asked, well, Lord, this is, you know, and I'm just trying to think the way Isaiah would have thought. I mean, that's probably a really bad idea. But what would you think if God gave you a message like he gave him Isaiah? Go harden their hearts. Go preach to them and harden their hearts. It's a pretty good question, right? Well, how long, Lord? How long do I give that message? Until the cities are devastated and without habitation, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. You keep preaching to this people until their cities have been become overrun by the Babylonians, until no one is left because they've been taken off in exile. You keep preaching either until that happens or until the day you die, whichever comes first. For Isaiah, it was until the day he died. Beloved, this, again, we think of this as being a harsh message. But if you think about the hundreds of years in Israel's history where God had blessed them, and how slowly God had gotten to this point with his people, it's hard to see anything but the mercy and the grace of God. And even in the midst of a message which is like, I don't want to listen to that. Even in the midst of that, hope is interlaced in the book of Isaiah. Verse 13 says, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning. Yes, they're going to be punished. Yes, the Babylonians are going to be to run over them, take them off into captivity, and yes, even the tenth that survive, we're going to have it come again. It will again be subject to burning, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The logging operation is complete. The people of Israel are cut down, taken away, and for a good part, the judgment of God has fallen upon them. And yet here he ends and he says, whose stump it remains when it is felled, the holy seed is its stump. Even in the pronouncement of judgment that sounds like it was going to be total and complete and sparing no one, the stump remains. And beloved, it is the oak or the terebinth, it is not the evergreen. It is not the cedar. When that tree is cut down, you will find no sprout coming forth from that stump. But from the oak tree or the terebinth, there is. It's a deciduous tree, and the sprout is going to come back. And it's the way it's rendered in the NASB is that the holy seed is talking about the people of God. And so the people of God, the Jewish people, are going to be revived. But more specifically, this is talking about the branch imagery or the sprout imagery, who is Jesus Christ. And it's from this stump that the glory of Israel and our salvation comes. And so even in the midst of this harsh judgment, we find the mercy and the grace and the love of God. What's your attitude toward hearing the word of the Lord? take a straw poll and don't anybody answer. But if I was preaching through Isaiah 5, if I said, okay, there are six woes here, and I'm going to spend a Sunday on every woe that is pronounced, I already just shorthanded them. How many would come back? No, because you don't want to hear the word of the Lord, whether it's good or bad. Because our tendency is to think, you know what, I want to go, I'm coming out of here being uplifted and feeling good. That would be a long go, wouldn't it? And you know what? You're not, I'm not saying you're unlike me, because again, when Bernice and I are reading this book, we're trying to read it and get out of it, because it can be so depressing. Because we don't like to find ourselves stewing in the pot of God's judgment. Have any of you ever had an encounter with God, seriously? Have you, and I'm serious about this, have you ever felt like you saw God high and lifted up and holy? Like, have you ever got a sense that I've seen the glory of God? I have. And I'm just trying to say, I got it, and I don't remember exactly when, but I remember thinking, you know what? I came to the place where, Lord, we will go wherever you call us to go. And we will do whatever you call us to do. If you've had a glimpse of the glory of God, beloved, you must come to the point of abject surrender. Would I do what God called me to do? Perhaps today there are loving words that Jesus would have me speak. There may be one in the paths of sin, some wanderer I should seek. Yeah, great song. What do you want me to do, O God? Isaiah saw a vision of God. He heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you for this chapter. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you help us to see you high and lifted up. I thank you for the vision that you gave Isaiah. And I thank you, O God, that when he saw your glory, he saw himself in the light of it. And I pray, O Lord, that to each one of us, you would help us to see your glory, to see you as high and lifted up, lofty and exalted, the sovereign Lord sitting on his throne. And that by doing so, we would be that we'd be humbled in such a way that we would not have an agenda of our own. I pray, O Lord, that you would help us to see you. I pray, O God, for the leadership in this church, that you would help us to see you as high and lifted up, and to serve you in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. I pray, O Lord, for each of us. that you'd help us to see that we, as a small part of the universal church of God, that we are to be people in whom your glory can be seen. Lord, we want to give you all praise, and we want to commit to being the kind of people you want us to be, not for our own good so much. Should you strike us dead at this moment, you would be just in doing so. But we pray, O God, again, that you would use us for your glory in the place that you've put us, and that you give us a desire to do what you've called us to do. We thank you, O God, that you are faithful even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, for you cannot deny yourself. But we also pray, O God, that by your grace and goodness, you would help us to become more faithful in the days and years ahead. For any people who are on that gradual ramp, I guess, where it goes up gradually and we tread, and pretty soon it rounds and goes down. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see in time that we need to repent of our sins and that we need to walk in the light before it's too late. Help us, O God, we need your help. We ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.